What can be said of the origins of humankind? Hello, this is Good Word. Welcome. I'm David Thomas. Good Word is a commentary, weekly commentary on some biblical thought. And I'm happy today to have with me two colleagues, John Dibdall, a retired professor from the School of Theology at Walla Walla University, and Paul Dibdall, father and son. And gentlemen, today we open up a topic that's actually a pretty hot topic. It has to do with origins, in this case, particularly origins of human beings. And you know as well as I, and I'm sure our listeners know too, that the subject is in much debate today because more and more people are arguing that we are here merely by forces of nature, whereas the Bible very clearly argues that, or states, I should say, that there is a divine being by whom we call God, who is sovereign, and it is by his activity, that human beings were created. And, you know, how that happened, I guess, is one subject that could be talked about. The implications of that probably might be a little more gripping, but what would you say to people about this whole idea of human beings being created instead of just being here as circumstantially?
Well, that has huge implications. Which side you take, if you actually confront it in as black and white of terms as you did, and you just framing the question, it has huge implications. Because if I'm here by chance or by some kind of cosmic accident or some kind of collusion of cosmic laws, that's a huge difference between saying, you know, that my existence is part of a grand plan or design and that there is something behind it and there is meaning in life. It seems to me one leads to a meaningful explanation for our existence and one leads to some kind of, I don't know.
Fatalism.
Limbo and fatalism where you say, whatever, all I have is this life and whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to do. And when it's over and there's no grand plan. So to me, the implications of that are huge for the way I look at my life, the way I live my life, the way I act in my life.
And wouldn't one of those be also the whole idea of inherent value in human beings?
Yes.
I mean.
Yes, certainly. If we're someone that has been created by someone and it has a purpose and have a meaning, then we should treat that with respect. If one accident is dealing with another accident, there's not a whole lot of...
I never heard it put that way, John. One accident is dealing with another. Yeah, it is. You know, it is kind of, well, I guess as a creationist, I can't look at this in an unbiased way, but it strikes me that if nature has been unfolding its things for 7 billion years or something like that, and I am now the result of it, and I get only 70 years, it seems like an awfully minimal benefit from an awful long time of you know, evolutionary happenings. That I, you know, here I get 70 years, and then my day in the sun is gone, and wow. See, whereas if I am here by the design of an almighty being, I think it opens up, as you say, it opens up some amazing possibilities, one of which is that I don't see myself as an accident, that I would have some value, even if nobody else sees value in me. There would be inherent value because I am here as part of a designer's plan. One thing you didn't mention is the whole idea of a moral structure, that if I am here simply by chance, on what basis do I create a moral structure? We sit around the table and agree that this is how we'll behave. Whereas if we are here at the hands of a creator, the presumption is that that creator would then give to us the rudiments of a moral system. Okay, so Paul, you've been quiet up to this point.
Well, I was just thinking, and I don't know if practical terms is the right way to say it here, but just I think we can see quite clearly in people's lives the difference it makes when they know they were desired, wanted.
Mm.
If you think of a person who knows that their parents did not want them, wished they had not been born even, or just didn't, that nobody cared. That has a profound effect on us all through our lives. And so to say that there is a God, there is a creator, there is somebody that desired children, to use biblical terminology, I think it really does. I'm just would be affirming what you've already said, has a profound impact then on how we how we think of ourselves, how we relate to other people, and then how we relate to the rest of creation also.
Well, I think what we're saying has a very, very important part to it, and that is that we're part of a tradition that has argued quite a bit about the how of creation, how and when. How did it happen? And when did it happen? And I'm not saying that those are irrelevant questions, but they're not the core questions. The core question is, we want to hold on to that belief in creation because of what it says about God, what it says about men, what it says about life. So those other questions are there, but let's make sure that people understand the powerful impact in their life of the fact of creation and how they view themselves and everything that happens.
And actually, the Bible doesn't really say much about the how of creation or the when.
The Word of God. Yeah. God spoke. That's basically it. Yeah. Other than that, there's...
But it does say an awful lot about some of the implications. You know, one of the things that emerges from a creationist viewpoint is this whole idea that we are made in the image of God. What do you understand that to be? Any comments on that?
Well, it's hard. You know, that question has been debated by theologians for a long time because the Bible doesn't really go into a lot of detail to explain directly using that terminology what it's like. But I think the basic point that it's trying to make is simply the fact that there is something special about human beings that has a relationship to God, and that... however you want to define it, by spiritual nature or concepts about God or whatever you have, you're talking about some capacity that God has created in human beings to relate to Him that is not there with other beings of the same.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's less a statement about, you know, physical form.
Yeah, and some people do say that it is physical form. Yeah.
And to me, it's more a matter of, and Dad, you use the word capacities. Not that we are God, but we have some of the same capacities to create, and then to appreciate some of those things that other life forms can't appreciate.
Now, of course, this idea of being made in the image of God is said only about humans, not about the rest of creation. And so it would suggest that there is a certain nobility in human beings, or that there should be.
Yeah.
And then that's also linked to in Genesis with the idea of having dominion over the earth. And you mentioned a little while ago that if we are part of a created order, not only do we have... Not only does that have implications for the way we treat each other, but what about the way we treat the rest of creation? And I don't know if you have some thoughts about that.
Well, if I'm working with, let's just say I'm working with somebody else's car, I'm driving somebody else's car, I think I'm not the only one that would be especially careful, recognizing that it's been loaned to me, so to speak, and I want to care for it well. And if...
Would that include rental cars, by the way? No, just some people beat on rental cars, which they should not do,
So the Creator has placed me here on this earth and has given us as human beings certain responsibilities. We read that in Genesis. We're to be careful stewards, caretakers of the other things that God has created.
Yeah. And of course, in the Christian world, there's been an unhappy interpretation of the word dominion, where in some eras of history, Christians have argued that this world is given to us to use, so use it to the max. So whatever it has is there to be used. That can be a very destructive notion.
Certainly.
Yeah. I'm even wondering what implications this might have for war. What does it mean to take the life of another human being in a hostile encounter? What does this say about taking human life at all? Or what does it say about taking the life of an animal? I mean, I imagine I will rile some people up by asking about the Christian legitimacy of hunting for sport. You know, when animals have a degree of sentience, is that really something that you know, to hunt for food is one thing, but and I don't know, maybe you gentlemen don't want to comment on those.
Well, I you've asked a lot of questions. Each one could probably take a whole lesson to talk about. But I think, to me, the bottom line is that animals and the rest of creation and human beings are all come from, according to Christian belief, from the same hand. In other words, there is a sense, I don't know if you can use the word brother and sister, but there is a sense in which we're related to the creation in that we believe that it all came from God's hand, and it's all interrelated and all interdependent.
All belongs to him.
All belongs to him. Yeah. All is to be used for his glory. So I'm not sure always what that says for all the specifics that you just mentioned, but it does say that it isn't something that is alien to us or foreign to us or against us or our enemy. Yeah. None of those things should be used.
Yeah. And it does strike me in this regard that you look at the relationships people develop with other things that are not human. I mean, I know people who have a great love for plants, and I happen to believe that those plants thrive under their love and care. You know, I don't know whether they talk to them or what, but and you look at the relationship between people and pets. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen people enduring great sorrow at the loss of a pet and so forth. Huh. Well, I guess the whole question of origins is pretty big. You know, in the Genesis account, human beings are the last entities that God made before
capstone of his creation.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think it's for that reason that in the Christian world, humans are believed to have a certain nobility and a responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of a very sad thing that's not always been evident in the Christian community. I am very happy to notice that Christians now are beginning to have a lot more focus on what's known as creation care, precisely for the reasons that we have been articulating. In just 30 seconds, Genesis 3 talks about a fall. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what implications that has for the pristine nature of human origins. You know, I mean, obviously, we began in much better circumstances than we find ourselves. And,
that's right.
And it's that forms the basis of what we'll be talking about in weeks to come. The whole idea of God having a plan for the redemption of human beings and human beings growing away from their humanity, but their sinfulness toward godliness. So, gentlemen, thank you for your assistance here today. My thanks also to Chad Oftahar, our program engineer. And my thanks to those of you for listening in. For Good Word, I'm David Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.